One point, just to also call to your attention from the supplementary Marmakomos that you gave us today, there is a, we gave a little bit of background, and this is going to be important to keep in mind, how Staka has these two tracks, these two elements. We know that Chesed more explicitly does, and we assume that Staka parallels it, that Staka has a component that is service-based, that's about helping people, and we'll make our decisions based on that to a certain extent. And also, it has to do with your own midos, your own aspect of godliness, which expresses itself through your rachmanis. And it's noteworthy, the Gemara in Sukkah, which I put on the list today, just to read to you a line here, that the Gemara, which makes the distinction between chesed and staka, and tells you how chesed is better. But before that, the line the Gemara has over there, just is worth keeping in mind as we look at some of these sugyas. The Gemara has a statement here in Sukkah and Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis: Ein staka mishtalemes ela lefi chesed sheba. That staka is rewarded, is paid back in accordance with the chesed that is in it. Right, so what does that mean, the chesed that is in it? What does that tell us? So there's a Rashi here. The Rashi is different, slightly different here. So, Elafi Gemilas Chasadim Sheba. What does that mean? So he writes, Hanasina he had staka. Staka is the giving itself. V'hatoreach hu hachesed. And the effort that you put into it, that's the chesed. Kigon molich lebeso. O toreach shetala lo laharbei. Or you make efforts that either you bring the person into your house, or you bring it to the house of the person, rather. You make effort in order to make this more beneficial. You try to make it help the person more. You could go, no saying, well, pasafuya, you give them a ready-baked bread, or bag of lubosh, or you give them clothes to wear already, or mos, beisha tuwa mitsuya, or you give him money at a time when the produce is easily available, shoyotsi meosa liibud, that he's, the money you're giving him is not going to go to waste, because he's able to make it practical very quickly. That seems to be the key part at the end, that he focuses his heart and his attention to making sure that the ani really benefits. So the extent to which you do that, that is where the schar of staka. So this Gemara really perhaps illustrates pretty clearly that staka has kind of two components. There's the nesina itself, and there is everything else that's about chesed and rachmanis and kindness that you put into the process, and that will be variable. So one question we want to figure out, our Gemara is going to really focus on the concept of De Machzoro. It's really De Machzoro from beginning to end. But on the way, as we'll try to highlight today, there are many other sugyas which we'll also try to pay attention to one by one. But what would you say, just on the surface, what is De Machzoro? Is De Machzoro a halacha in staka? Or is De Machzoro a halacha in chesed? In other words, is it halacha in your rachmanis, or is it a halacha in benefiting the individual? I think that's... Sorry?
It's a halacha in staka.
Okay, how do you see that here?
Well, for sure, I think in the Rambam, he seems to say that, and talk about the halacha, mm-hmm. The amount that you have to give him is what he was rugged to for.
So how are you interpreting that to mean that it's a din in the staka as service specifically? I mean, you might be right. I just want to know how you're seeing that as that way specifically, not another way. I mean, one could say that De Machzoro is about sensitivity to his emotional needs, and that maybe that's more about the midas achesed, so to speak.
The way I read it, the amount of money that you have to give him is enough so that he can purchase for himself that which he was used to having before.
Right. Which is true. A question is just what part of staka is that tapping into? That's good. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. Just trying to figure out what part of staka is tapping into. It's also interesting, we discussed last week, that if you want to say, well, what's the pasuk in Re'eh talking about? So the pasuk immediately before it, about los sikpots and los sa'anets, so that we understood as being a reference to the midos component, that one is waiting, we saw the Rambam, that one shouldn't let himself become an achzar, and that if one has good reasons for holding back from staka, so then that's not going to be a violation of the law. So should we assume that the mitzvah saseh, the next pasuk, which contains this phrase de machzoro, is that on the same track, or is that something else, or is it all a combination? Are you got a comment?
Is it impossible that tzedakah includes fulfilling an emotional need?
No, it's very possible.
So then it could also fit into tzedakah as well. Meaning, chesed might be, I don't know where to put chesed, then it might be within chesed.
Okay. Point well taken. So let's see how these Gemaras play out. So first of all, so as we'll see, the Gemara basically all the way from the top of Samach Zayin and the Beis to the top of Samach Ches and Aleph. I think by now everyone's seen the Gemara pretty much. So we'll go through it a little bit together now. But the Gemara really from beginning to end is saying things relevant to the question of Dei Machzoro. In the middle, as we'll take a look, there are many other sugyas in Staka which are presented, which we'll also try to pay attention to, but first we need to have a global sense of what's going on, because all of it impacts the question of Dei Machzoro. So first, the Mishnah introduces it in the context of somebody who's marrying off a Yoson, and the Gemara picks up on that point from the top of Samach Zayin and Beis. Right? So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Yoson Shaval Lisa, let's say you have an orphan who comes to you, saying that he wants to get married and he needs money. So as Rashi fills in, Balisa Mishal Staka. So somebody, it's not just that he's looking to get married, but he needs help because he doesn't have any money. So he comes to you to ask for help. So essentially, the Gemara is addressing, so how much is he your problem, so to speak? How much is he your priority, and what do you need to do for this person? So says the Gemara, Sochrim lo bayis, you'll rent a house for him, and you'll provide for him a bed and everything that he uses. And after that, you do what is necessary in order to make his wedding possible financially. So says the Gemara, so each praise is telling you something. Dei machzoro zavayis. So what's the significance of that passage? What's that Gemara trying to tell you? What halachos, the principles, do you think those few lines are telling us that the pasuk is instructing us? Arya?
It's more than just making sure that they can feed themselves.
Okay, so maybe so then that might be one possible for us, right? That maybe you read the pasuk and you see that you have an ani, he's starving. So how do I know what matters and what doesn't matter? How do I know if he comes and says that my iPad doesn't get Wi-Fi? How do I know that that's not necessarily the kind of thing I worry about? Maybe it is the kind of thing I worry about. So how do I know what to worry about and what not to worry about? So the pasuk is telling us, look at certain types of factors. And the Gemara is understanding these factors as doesn't have a place to live, doesn't have basic things in the household that he needs to function, and he can't get married. So apparently these are all things which qualify. So then what's the thrust of the Gemara? Maybe the thrust of the Gemara is to tell you what is basic important need, what are basic universal needs. Right, so far this Gemara doesn't identify anything about the person other than he's a Yasson. So it sounds like we don't know anything about this individual's past history, anything about their personal needs. All we know is that they don't have any source of income. That's really the only piece of information we have about them. And therefore, presumably what the Gemara is saying is you want to know what's the basic needs of a person. A person comes and says, I want you to pay for my life. So what qualifies as the minimum there? Now, is there a significance to the ordering, the way the Gemara says? It seems to be saying, Viacharka, is that specific? Does that tell us anything? What do you think? Is there a reason why it says Viacharka? Could these three things have been said in a different order?
Well, he needs to have a house, I guess, before he gets married.
Okay. So that's a whole discussion. Right, so that's a whole discussion in general, you know, whether a person, even when a person is paying for himself, what should be his priorities in terms of what he does, you know, he gets married first, sets up a living first, buys a house first, sukkim and parsha shoftim that are relevant to figuring that out. But in the context of staka, Is there a reason? Is the order significant? Or is there anything being stated there? This Rambam is the one, yeah? If you look at the Rambam, how does the Rambam, the way he records the statement, right, which is Parag Zayin, Halacha Gimel, and Dalet. So the language of the Rambam, do you see any significance to the order? I'll read to you what the Rambam says. The Rambam quotes the Halacha. Parag Zayin, Halacha Gimel, Lefi Masha Chaser Ha'ani, Ata Mitzuva Liten Lo. Emei Lo Ksus, Machasim Oso. Emei Lo Klibayis, Konin Lo. Emei Lo Isha, Masin Oso. If I see Isha, Masin Oso Lish. Alright, so he doesn't have a house, you give him a house. Doesn't have clothes, you give him clothes. Doesn't have a wife, you give him a wife. It's a woman, you give her a husband. And so it sounds like from the Rambam that this is not, there's no real focus on this order here. It's just listing off things which are all important aspects of life. And all of these qualify. If somebody comes to you and says, I need this, pay for this. So that would be a legitimate stopper request. I have a question.
But doesn't the Rambam say that right after that, in our case?
Yes, so then he goes on to, that's into my next question. So this passage.
The same order, right? Like it says the same order as in the Targumara.
Yes, but there's no focus on the order the way the Rambam has it. You know, it sounds like from the language of the Rambam, the Gemara has this language of Acharka. Right? So it sounds like there is some kind of sequence there. So maybe it's a prioritization in terms of these needs. Maybe there is some significance. You have to see whether that makes a difference. But it sounds like from the Rambam, like it doesn't really make a difference. The Rambam's listing things the person could be missing. Maybe he's married, doesn't have a house. Maybe he has a house and he's not married. Maybe he doesn't have a house or a wife. Maybe he...
explicitly talking about an orphan?
Yeah, but he could have... An orphan could have any one or none of these things.
Yeah.
Right?
But it seems like the part of the Rambam that we just quoted was referring to any...
Okay, so then how do you...
Like, right after the Rambam, like, all those... regarding an orphan, uses the same.
The Rambam takes this Gemara about the orphan and applies it to everyone.
No. The Rambam goes on right after that. It talks about the orphan, right?
Okay.
Yeah,
and Dalet. Even he talks specifically about the orphan, right? And there he says Viacharka, right? That's true, right? So we specifically right. The point is well taken. So there, since this din is not derived from this. We were saying that the principle of the Yasam shows you somebody who doesn't have any other information other than his lack of income. Right?
Yeah.
So that you could derive a principle of prioritization from there. So saying the fact that he brings the halacha of Yasam separately means that's...
Yeah.
And he does have lashon of acharka. So, but still, this language of klibayis and isha and sus, which seems to come from this Gemara, right, that he brings with no order.
So regular people wouldn't. You wouldn't care about the priority?
I don't know.
But for the orphan, all of a sudden, he cares?
No, I don't know. That's
no, but it's specifically an orphan that's coming last year, Isha. That's what he says. Yasum Sheh.
Right.
Yasum Sheh last year, Isha. So specifically in that case, you see...
Do we tell him to do the bias first?
Right.
Yeah.
But not necessarily if he's just coming in general.
No, that's the Shita of the Rambam,
bias paranisha,
right.
In terms of the order of what you should do in life in general.
Right.
But it sounds like the Gemara is getting it. That's awesome.
Right.
This can come from the Gemara. So how does this din then relate to the next passage in the Gemara? So the day in Achsara that comes next, how does this din relate? Does it relate, or are these two separate din? Right, the day in Achsara that the Gemara uses to talk about the Yasam, the day in Achsara is coming in the next sugya. So how do they connect to each other? Do they connect to each other? All right, so that's a thought to keep in mind as we go further. So let's see, is when the Gemara is identifying the Yasam's needs, so is that something that is specific to the Yasam? Is that a way of saying these are general needs? Is that a way of saying that these are what we talk about before we start talking about the variables? And is this a different drasha in Dei Machzoro? So all of those, I think, are questions to keep in mind before we see the next passage. And so what is the Gemara saying now after that? So Tana Rabbanan de Machzoro, Ata Mitzuva Olav L'Farnaso, V'yata mitzuva olav li asha. So you're obligated to support him, and you're not obligated to make him rich. So what does that show us? So what's the first line then? So de mafsoro asher. So what's the difference between before the asher and after the asher? That first we're saying that that which is lacking is not necessarily wealth. And so if somebody comes and asks you to be above average, they ask you, they want to be enriched, so then that's not a stucco priority. A stucco priority would have to mean something is missing. Not just that I want more, but that I am lacking something. So that seems to be one principle. However, now the Gemara says, what does it mean to be lacking something? So lacking something, we might be a little bit surprised as what's considered to be a lack. I feel will sus lurk over love, ve'eved laros l'fanav, that even if he wants a horse to ride on and an eved to run in front of him, that would somehow count as a lack. And amru olav al hil hazakin shalakach la'ani ben tovim, and ben tovim echad, who gave for one poor person who was the son of wealthy people, sus lurk over love, ve'eved laros l'fanav, he gave him a horse to ride on and a eved to run in front of him. Pamachas lamatz eved laros lefanav, ratz lefanav, shlosha milin. So one time he wasn't able to find someone else to do it, so he did it himself. So then what do we get so far from that passage? Right, so what's the Gemara being mechadish to us? Right, it sounds like a couple of things. Avi?
And you would think that lacking would consist of what he needs to survive or what he needs to live. No, it's when he needs to get back to what he's used to.
Okay. All right, so you have two stages, right? The first stage is that he doesn't have a right to ask for wealth. He only has a right to make up what's lacking. But the definition of lacking might be much more expansive than you would have thought. So the previous passage about the awesome tells us what's the basic minimum for humanity. And then the next passage tells us that there are variables, that there are people who could be accustomed to more, and that will also enter into a lack. And even though we have the sentence right before that, that you have to be lacking as opposed to just be looking for greater profit, but lacking might be defined in a subjective sense and may even be somewhat surprising. Now, are there any limits to what could enter into that? So that's going to be what is figured out based on some of the Gemaras that we'll see now, because the Gemara is going to talk about some examples where individuals were given a lot because of their personal proclivities, and examples where they weren't necessarily given so much. And the Rishonim are going to figure out, they're going to try to figure out what exactly is the difference. Is there anything particular in these examples of Eved Laretz Lefanav? Just on the surface, what would you think is the message of that? Is that the... what's that supposed to represent? This example is supposed to teach you something. So, what would you think the message is? Abby?
Even if the guy was rich before, you still make him rich. Just not to make him richer than what he was before. If he was rich before, you make him that amount of rich.
So, is this meant to show a standard of wealth? That he has, he's even if he was the richest person, so we try to treat him as the richest person? Or is this a certain kind of wealth? What kind of person needs Evid to run in front of him?
It's a wealth of like your social stature, your social standing.
Okay.
Maybe you have an obligation to.
I think you're on the right track.
Not like embarrassed in public because you're at a certain.
So I think you're on the right track. So the question that's what I'm trying to identify, that is the stam just somebody wants
public
to run?
Public thing.
So is it public? Is that the idea? Like Sam was saying, is it something specifically in order to protect his public status? Is that what the Gemara is identifying? Or is there some other message here? So could this example just as easily have been anything? Could this example only be something that's very public? Or is there another tradition of Gemara? There were those who suggested that this is not only meant to convey something that's a luxury or something that is public, but maybe something that's a little bit ridiculous. And maybe that's the point. Right? There were those who interpreted from this type of example that De Machsoro shows that even what we call a Mishigas is sometimes included. That if somebody has an emotional need for something, so then that could also qualify, even if it doesn't really correlate to anything else. And therefore, once you say that, that also could apply to people who aren't Daniyim at all. Could apply outside the context of Sukkah. There are those who write that, for example, sometimes showing kavod to somebody is Dei Machsoro. People need to be treated with a certain amount of pomp and circumstance. And even if that makes no sense to us, that might be included in Dei Machsoro. Maybe that's what the Gemara is teaching us. The Gemara is giving us in a kind of a ridiculous example in order to perhaps make that point. Right?
This could be insignificant, but I found it troubling how, like, Lefana, why is the slave in front of his master? Shouldn't he be following his master?
Well, maybe that also highlights the point that he's not really doing anything, right? That a slave after him, maybe he's there to serve him. Right? A slave in front of him, maybe that's the talk of the point, that there is no real hishtamshus to having a slave in front of you. So then maybe that is significant. Right? Maybe that's significant either in showing the extent of the luxury, or that maybe it's showing that even if it's a mishigas, that even something that doesn't really serve any purpose might be included in Dei Machsoro. So it might be significant. That was outstanding. Are you in the first?
I just wanted to add to what we were saying, that also probably is why the example of something that was done before, not necessarily the Mamona Biasillo himself. He ran in front, he didn't pay the guy money, but he did something with his
own.
But he did something with his own body, which goes to show that having somebody get back to like that social status or that they need to be at doesn't necessarily require all the tibor's money. It just requires them looking at that person in a certain way.
And the fact that he'll do it himself shows that.
Yeah.
You know, either he normally hired somebody, but when he couldn't find somebody to hire, so the fact that he did it himself shows that it's a recognized need.
Yeah, but something that can be done by yourself also. Someone's buying food, you need money for that. There's no other way around it.
That's interesting. How much does that play a part in the example? Okay, so these are some of the issues that we have to try to figure out. What's the significance of this example? Is this example just to show you even big things that a person, only really rich people have? Is it specifically public? Is it specifically ridiculous? Is it to highlight that it's about emotional needs rather than about anything practical? Is the Gemara specifically giving you an example that's davka, not practical in any way, in order to show you that that's the kind of things that might be included? So all of this is significant. You also probably saw that some of the Rishonim, to kind of anticipate a question that hasn't come up yet from the Gemara, but that the phrase of Ani Ben Tovim is paid attention to by some of the Rishonim, right? Because what does Ben Tovim tell us? And to highlight the fact that he's raised a certain way, that this isn't an option that's open to everybody. It's an option that's there for somebody who specifically was raised with a certain standard and therefore comes to need it. And therefore maybe there will be other people who will ask for it and will say, no, you're not accustomed to this. And it doesn't become an obligation of Dei Machsoro.
Just going back to the thing about the slave running before, I read somewhere, although I can't remember precisely where, that apparently in Roman society it was very common for slaves to, servants to, he gave it like a certain circumstance that the master was on this horse behind them and they were running in front of him in order to be...
As a status symbol.
Right. And we see that, of course, in the very important movie Aladdin, where Aladdin is coming through and there's a whole parade of people in front of him dancing and sword fighting, things like that. So it just... I don't know if that's a good proof, but it's one of those which we recognize.
Totally love this. It's as good a proof as any. Okay. Sorry?
Purim as well.
Purim.
Purim.
Right, Mordechai was marching in front of... Right, so specifically, so that example of, let's say, a parade, is that the idea that somebody's always paraded around? Is that the idea? So the notion that Sammy was saying, that maybe it's about status, and like I was filling in here, maybe that's the Chiddush of the Gemara. So any or all of these might be the Chiddush of the statement, so that's something to keep in mind as we go further. Okay, so now the Gemara gives some... example. So Tana Rabbanan, Maisa Ba'anshei Galu Ha'elyon, Shalachu Ani Ben Tovim Echad Mitzipori. Once again, Ani Ben Tovim is identified. Again, the Rishonim pay attention to that. This one in Tzipori, what was he given? Litra Basar B'chol Yom. He was given a litra of Basar every day. So now the Gemara has a line which is very hard for me to express. It really refers to a very different cultural perspective. But the Gemara apparently disparages the significance of glacier for some reason. So basa marabusa, so what's so chashiv about basa? Some rafuna, no, litra basa mishal ofos. I mean, for some reason, the chicken was more impressive than the flesh, which is very hard to relate to, but apparently that's one possibility of how it should be interpreted. Or the Gemara says, no, ibaisema balitra basa ramish, that it was basa, but it was paid for with a litra of money, which means it was really expensive meat. And Ravashi Amara Hasam Kfar Katan Haya was a small town that didn't really have a market for all this meat, so therefore Bachal Yoma have a Mafsidi Khiyusa Antaluse, that every day they had to kill an animal just for him. That was the meat became very expensive because he was the only one who was using it. So essentially, what comes out from that line? What comes out from that passage? Any chidushim that we see, would that Gemara add anything to the previous passage?
To go against the previous passage.
Okay, perhaps. How so?
Because now we have a case where this is something that can be done in private, his eating. Like mm-hmm. You're still going to go above and beyond to pay for what he used to have. Even though that might not change the public's perspective of him.
Okay.
What he's eating in his house.
So let's say like that. It sounds like this is a case where it's not really going to be about status or anything public. That this is just about him. And yet, apparently, de machzoro is applied also. So maybe it's a chiddush on top of the previous Gemara. Maybe the previous Gemara says things that are public are included in this. And here, this is also included even though it's not public. So is this more inclusive than the previous Gemara? So then maybe we say we don't need the previous Gemara. And so here, if even things that are private are subject to de machzoro, so why do I need the previous Gemara? What possible chidushim could be left for that? Well, it could be that this is more fundamental. That maybe a more fundamental need, how you eat, is eating is crucial. So it's a question of how you eat, what you eat. So that day, machzor applies to private and public. But this pure luxury of Evid Loretz Lefanov maybe is there because it's public. Maybe. Okay. Sorry?
Without the previous one, we would know that to what extent, extravagance.
So you're saying this is not the ultimate extravagance. Having a town chef an animal for you every day is, and maybe it's not. I know it could be that it doesn't represent. But so then, why does that Gemara not include this? Because the Gemara says, you know, what you're saying is that the other Gemara says that when it's public, however extravagant it is, no limit to the extravagance. And when it's private, it's pretty extravagant. But maybe it's more limited. Maybe. Okay. And in both cases, the Gemara has this phrase, ben tovim, so it seems like that's still the standard in both cases. Right? Somebody who, according to the Rishonim, who pay attention to that, that it's somebody, Davko, who had this in the past and who needs this in the future. Okay. So, how would also the Kamedra of Nehemiah? Somebody came in front of Nehemiah. Amala Bameat HaSoe. So, somebody came in front of Nehemiah and asked him for money. So, Nehemiah wanted to figure out what is his status, what is his normal standard? So he asked him, so what do you like eating? So Amalei Basar Shamein V'Yayin Yashan. Yeah, I eat fat meat and old wine. I have very luxurious tastes in food. So apparently Nehemiah is not ready to give that to him. Now, why is he not ready to give it to him? Yes, no?
Sorry, just a question on the last bit. So, wasn't there the Shita Mikvatsis which quoted the Gaonim, which said that if it's not public knowledge that the Ani that the Ani Ben Tovim, that he is now a poor person, that's when you have to restore him to his stature.
Right.
So wouldn't in the previous case the fact that they're shechting an animal like every day for this guy, wouldn't
doesn't
that
show his power?
Knowledge, and then you wouldn't be chayav to. You would just need to give him his basic needs. You wouldn't have to restore him to his stature once everybody knows that the person's poor.
So that's an important question. And part of the question is we'll have to first get to those various and show them to try to figure out how they reconcile the various cases in the Gemara. But is that true, let's say? So according to that, just to get a little bit ahead of us in terms of that position, so if the issue is that de machzor is only for somebody who's secretly poor, so that he shouldn't be embarrassed, which fits well with the previous Amara, let's say, that he should continue to have his entourage that makes it look like he's still where he was. So isn't he going to be exposed in this case? Because if they're shechting an animal from every day, so doesn't that eventually catch on? So there's a couple of different ways to approach that. I think the question is a good one. But first of all, we don't necessarily how long this goes on for. So let's say maybe there's a certain transitional phase where eventually it stops, which is also what some of the Rishonim identify, right? The process doesn't go on forever. Also, it could be that you have a small Vat Hatzaki here that's shechting an animal for him every day, and that the population as a whole doesn't know. Now, the question is still, why does he have to have this meal in private just to protect his status? Couldn't he eat whatever he wants in private? So that's also something I have to figure out. Is this dafka being done publicly in any protective way, or done publicly in a way that undermines the status? All of that, I think we have to see
how. I don't
know
if, like, the fact that the Gemara says specifically that it's a kafar katan has something to do with that.
Isn't the kafar katan point to make the point that there's no market for this meat? That if he was in a big city where they could sell the rest of the meat, so then they shecht an animal, and then it's a good use of money. But because he was the only one eating it, right, so then it becomes a very expensive piece of meat. And that seems to be the significance of the kafar katan.
Does everybody know why they're shechting for him? I don't know. It's some public knowledge.
Yeah.
It could be,
but even if he was rich, they check.
For it. They
So I would say?
For all the people know, he could be paying for it.
Right. Even if he was rich, he'd be shechting the same way.
Yeah.
Right. So the point is, but now the town is bearing the burden for this. So does that expose him as poor? So far, not necessarily.
It could be that the Kfar Katan was already doing that his whole life, really.
Right.
And now they're just continuing it.
Right. But either way, it was expensive. Expensive when he was rich, and it was expensive when he's poor. And it's the question is, who's paying for this? So the Gemara is coming to tell you that this is expensive and presumably also wasteful. Right. So you may also ask, even from a Baal Tashkis perspective, so is it kedai to do this? Apparently also the needs of Deim Achsoro justify that as well. Okay, so now the Gemara gives this case of Ibn Nechemiah. So Ibn Nechemiah asks him, so Ritzonchesh Tegalgal Imi Ba'adoshim. So would you be willing to lower yourself to slum with me and to have lentils? And so it sounds like he simply didn't have the ability to give him more. And so why did he not give him what the guy asked for? The guy says, I used to eat this fancy steak and wine, and when Nechemiah didn't give it to him, why did he not give it to him? So one possibility is he didn't have. Right? Probably are at least three possibilities. One possibility he didn't have. What other possibility might there be?
Maybe.
Sorry, I didn't hear, but my Sam was going to go first. Well, yes, yeah, sorry?
Maybe Nechemiah wanted to see if he was willing to lower his status, although maybe he's been
born. Okay.
Maybe he never had his status.
Okay,
he
so.
Until then, and he was just asking for, you know, luxury or the best.
But he said, he asked what he usually has, though.
So it's two different versions of the same track, right? So one possibility is he simply couldn't afford it. Second possibility might be that, and this sounds like from the end of the Gemara, this is probably true, or there's truth to this, even if this wasn't the reason, that he wasn't worthy of the standard, that this was not a case where he should get what he wanted. And the different version of that is what Sammy was saying, is maybe he was testing the waters. Maybe he's trying to figure out whether or not he is worthy of getting this. So that's three possibilities, possibly a fourth possibility also. Avi?
That he doesn't want, that he doesn't think that the burden, that the clause would have such a burden to lead his extravagant lifestyle, even though he's used to it.
Okay, so then how does that question in general, so that's a very important issue, has that question in general addressed the whole Deim Achsoro standard? Right, why don't we always say that by Deim Achsoro? So if Deim Achsoro, in some of these examples, is always going to be above average, and sometimes ridiculously above average, so why did this case have him say, well, you know, we shouldn't put you on the seaboard, while other cases seems like it is? So that's something we have to figure out also. But there's at least one more possibility here.
Could be it's showing that Deim Achsoro is good advice, but not an absolute obligation. Mm-hmm. So therefore, he could ask the person to tolerate lentils, which is the basic obligation of Deim Achsoro, or of
I think that's an interesting possibility also. It's not what I was looking for, it's an interesting possibility also. But I think you have to shift it a little bit. Because to say it's not an obligation on who? An obligation on the donor? Presumably it's some kind of an obligation. It has limits, which we'll have to figure out also. But it's not like a mitzvah kiyumis. I mean, it could be a mitzvah kiyumis on some level. Right? How would you say it's a mitzvah kiyumis? You could say that, essentially, I don't have a right to give tzedakah to somebody for something that's nothing. And maybe Da'idei Nachsara was telling you that this counts as tzedakah. This is within the realm of your discretion. If you want to give your tzedakah money to this purpose, that would be valid tzedakah. But still, maybe there are better decisions to make. It's a valid possibility also. But there's another element here, which some of the Rishonim focus on, and Iri and others pay attention to, that you could also maybe notice from what was Reb Nechemya's specific focus. Right? He didn't just say to him, maybe you could do with less, but how did he phrase the question?
Like, tolerate it, like galgal.
Okay, that's also, you know, that's also an interesting word to pay attention to. There's another point, another word there in that sentence, which is significant. What was it? Okay, I guess another good one. These are all good things.
Emo?
Yes, emo, right? That, so what does that tell us?
That he's obligated to join in with him.
Okay, these are all good suggestions, but still not what I'm looking for. That maybe there is a limit to what De Machzor requires that could be calibrated based on the standard of the donor himself. That if the donor himself lives with a lower standard of luxury, so then maybe that affects how much he's supposed to give to somebody else.
Why that?
Because maybe he's not obligated. That could be, maybe he can't afford it, or maybe he's not obligated to afford it. That maybe the standard of tzedakah, like we found by Halva and Ribbis, where the Gemara says, right, that you should lend money to somebody else and not charge them interest so that they may live with you. Right? Maybe the whole idea of tzedakah is that they should be able to share in your good fortune and in your ability to thrive, but they don't have to exceed your ability to thrive. Avi?
And how would that fit into the Masara?
Because
De Masari, it's like,
right, but maybe it's an upper cap to De Machzoro, that he's lacking something, so you should provide him what he's lacking, assuming that it's something that's less than what you do for yourself. But if he wants to be rich, let's say you're rich, and he wants to be rich like you. Right? So you're a billionaire, and he says, so since you're a billionaire, he'd like you to give him a Lamborghini. So you can say, no, I don't have to give you a Lamborghini. You don't have any history with such cars. So I'll give you what's lacking to you, and then I'll move on to the next guy. So maybe these are all competing factors, that you give him what he's lacking, which doesn't include being enriched, but does include what he's used to. And maybe it's capped by what you do for yourself. Now you have to figure out, so what does that mean about the Gemara beforehand, about Hillel and the Eved? So Hillel couldn't have a Vadim running in front of himself. But maybe that Gemara is a different category. Right? Maybe that Gemara is talking about these kind of status issues, which maybe other people need and you don't need. Now this Gemara is talking about eating. So maybe eating, I'm not mechuyev to feed somebody at a better level than I feed myself.
Similar to that, it could just be twofold, right? So the Masara, there's an obligation on both parties, just like there's an obligation to provide him with what that he's accustomed to. So two, it's on the party who's receiving the food and the money that he shouldn't ask for too much.
Oh, so that's clearly going to be a theme going through the rest of the Gemara, right? The Gemara is definitely going to come back to that idea. That there is some responsibility on the Ani to how much he should take from tzedakah, first of all, in terms of how much he is actually poor. But the Gemara also is going to explicitly address that issue, that if you accustom yourself to a certain standard that now puts a greater burden on the tzibur, there's something to be criticized about that. So the balance of that is the question. So all of these are great points, right? All of these in this one line of the Gemara, I think every suggestion that's been made so far could be it, right? It could, or it could be all together, right? It could be that simply he couldn't afford it. It could be that he could afford it but didn't find this to be an example of De Machzoro. Could be that it was De Machzoro, but that there's also sometimes a venue to try to encourage the Ani to not go that far, and maybe that's why he's asking him Ritzoncha. It could be that the standard is capped by what you do for yourself, All of these are valid possible chidushim from this din, right? And how does the story turn out? So he asks him if he'll take this, and apparently he grudgingly went along with it. Gilgal imo ba'adashim v'meis. So he tolerated these lentils, and he didn't tolerate them. He died. So says Reb Nechemia, Amar oy lo lezeh shahargo Nechemia. So woe is to this guy who had to get killed by Nechemia. So says the Gemara, woe is to him, woe is to you, you're in trouble now. Adar aboy lo Nechemia shahargo lezeh miboyle. Should have said, oh, woe is Nechemia that he killed him. No, says the Gemara, that's not the focus. Ela ihuhu deloy boyle lefnuke nafshe kulehai. Right, exactly like you're saying, that he, well, not maybe not exactly, possibly like you're saying, that he should not have allowed himself to become so sensitive. That this individual who developed such a taste for luxuries that he couldn't live without them, that was a bad decision, that was a bad lifestyle choice, and he paid the price. So is the point of the Gemara he should have trained himself not to burden himself on the seaboard, like you're suggesting? Or maybe it's that simply it was a bad choice for him, because look how he ends up not being able to function with less. In Karen Biavnish, Shiva Revolver, that Hatzarat Debracha used to talk about, the tension that you find in Chazal in terms of Hana from this world. That on the one hand, the Gemara says that you're obligated to benefit from this world. The Chazal tell us that when you come to Yom HaDin, you're going to be asked, Nehanesa Me'olami, have you benefited from this world? In other words, you're going to be held responsible if you haven't. You're obligated to get permissible benefit when it's there. And the Gemara says that Nazir, at least according to one opinion, Nazir is considered a sinner because he deprives himself of the benefits of this world. And on the other hand, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that the Pasva Malach Tochal, the path of Torah is a person should eat just a little bit of bread and salt and a little bit of dirty water and a flat bed. That should be his lifestyle. So the Rosh Yeshiva always discussed, is there a tension there? On the one hand, the Gemara says you should live with nothing, you should have only the barest minimum. And on the other hand, the Gemara says that it's very kedai to benefit from this world in a permissible fashion, and you'll be held accountable for when you don't. So he would go on to say that they're both true. That he gives this whole, gives this very elaborate example, said that you have somebody, he used to say, goes, means the guy who wants to take his wife out on a date. He said, so for him, that's already a new concept. He goes, it's li, motziyat ishto, is a megarishata, right? In Talmudic language, means you divorce the wife, motziyat ishto. But now, so you want to take her out on a date. So he talks about, so you want to go to the very fancy restaurant. So you'll go, and you'll have such a great time. You're thinking, wow, I got to come here once a month. And then you're thinking, once a month's not really going to do it. I'm going to have to come here once a week. No, you know, once a week's not really going to do it either. I mean, how am I going to go the rest of the week? So I have to come here at least three times a week. But three times a week, how am I going to afford that? Well, I'll have to stop doing this, I'll have to stop doing that. Maybe I have to borrow from this guy, but he's not going to want to give me. How come he doesn't want to give me? I'm always so nice to him. How's he being a jerk to me? It's terrible. I'm not going to talk to him anymore. What kind of a treatment is that? And eventually his whole life is going to fall apart because he becomes meshubit to this idea that he's got to do this constantly. Wow, what's the real meat of the Tanur Chacham? Said the Rosh Yeshiva, he said, the real Tanur Chacham. So he goes to the Shmorik and he has this fantastic meal. And then the next night he goes back to the next Medrash and he doesn't have the Shmorik and it's fine. He's able, all he has is the Pasha Malach Tocha, all he has is this little piece of bread with salt. And fine, and still he's able to be Osik B'Torah, as the Mishnah says. So the meat of the Tanur Chacham is that he's able to benefit from this world when it's available, when he has the exposure to the Gashmius at a high level, he's able to recognize how that is beneficial and how there's what to be grateful. And when it's not there, he can also live. When it's not there, he's also able to function and he's not going to say, I'm going to collapse because that's not available to me. Hi.
What's the definition of there, though? Is it also...
What's the degree of availability?
Concept of, like, it's made available to you and you don't necessarily want to take advantage.
Yeah, that's a fair question also, but why does it necessarily have to be about the matana? Let's say a scenario where it's there under non-matana circumstances, where you can afford it without having to compromise your life too much without having to take away from other things too much. Or you're invited to the wedding as an honored guest and they happen to have the breach mark. So you have that one night, and the next night you go back. He also said, this is in the Asufos Marachas, Rashi just said, Kolbuk said that the Gemara has a line that Kadosh Baruch Hu declares that Kol Olam Nizon Tishvil Chanina Bini, that God says the whole world is only sustained because of my son Chanina, and Chanina Atzmo Dailo B'Kruvecha Me'erev Shabbos Erev Shabbos, a good Tu B'Shvat message, that the Caribs that you only hear about on Tu B'Shvat, so Chanina is able to survive from one Shabbos to another Shabbos on just one carib. So what's the point of that Gemara? Is the Gemara saying it's ironic that all the whole world is sustained because of the S'chus of Chanina, and Chanina, all he needs is this one carib from one Shabbos to the next. What's the message of that Gemara? Just to say, oh, that's pretty crazy that he's the one bringing it all about, and he doesn't need it. So the Rashi said that snapshot. He said, why is there gashmius in the world? Why is there great physical benefit to enjoy in the world? It's really there for the Talmud Chacham. It's really there for somebody who's able to appreciate in all its dimensions and all of its spiritual benefit and how it can be a part of his Avodas Hashem. That's why all the gashmius in the world really exists. But the midah of the Talmud Chacham is that he can recognize it as that. He can recognize it as something extra that is a source of spiritual benefit. And if it's not there, he can also live. So the whole world has all the gashmius in it because of Chanina Bini, because of a Talmud Chacham like him. And that Talmud Chacham could also survive without it, could also live from one Shabbos to the next on just a Kruvecha that shows you the attitude that you're meant to have. So that's what this Gemara is really addressing. Gemara is saying, look what a terrible situation you got in. So you became so meshubit to this type of a lifestyle that when that wasn't available, you died. You weren't able to survive. So that itself is a balance of the different ideas the Gemara is saying. That on the one hand, it is kedai for the ani to try to adjust himself to a different style of life. But the Gemara at the same time makes the opposite point. Right? That it could be that some things become so necessary for your well-being, even if they're not objectively necessary, but your history with something can make it so crucial that it becomes a part of your basic survival necessities. And there are Rishonim, as we'll discuss, we're going to run out of time, so we'll have to continue this. I hope we'll be able to continue this tomorrow. Otherwise, we'll try to finish it up Wednesday, so we'll stay in touch with Aryeh to see what happens. But what it could be, and some of the Rishonim pick up on this, that maybe the Gemara is saying that De Machzoro is really a Pikuach Nefesh kind of standard. That there are certain things that people come to need in a very fundamental way. And even though they're not objective needs, they're still crucial needs because of how they become accustomed to them. So the halacha recognizes that. And we have to wean them off them slowly, so they can't be expected to be sustained like this forever. But at least for some transitional period, to whatever extent necessary, that's going to have to be addressed. Okay, so let's just quickly recap what we saw. We haven't really seen any conclusions yet. We're just looking at the Gemara to try to get some principles. So first we have a principle about a yasom, where the Gemara tells us there are certain needs, and the Gemara connects that to de machzoro. So that seems to show us that there are certain basics that are included in staka for everyone. The yasom is probably an example of somebody who just has the same status as everyone else, but doesn't have any income. So this defines what a basic need is. We tried to figure out how much the significance of the acharkach is a part of that discussion. And then the Gemara seems to have a different statement of De Machzoro, telling us two directions. On the one hand, it's davka, something which is lacking, meaning not more than the person would otherwise have. Staka is not there to make somebody above average, to make somebody wealthy. But that lack could include things which are very extreme if the person himself is accustomed to something more. So it's only what you're lacking, but the other side of the equation is lacking could be a very broad definition, even including Eved Laro Slufanov. So then we discussed what's the chiddush of Eved Laro Slufanov, and we saw a few possibilities. We'll have to see which of any of these impact the practicality. Maybe it's to show extreme luxury, maybe it's to show things that are in public, or maybe it's to show even things that don't seem to have any actual functionality and it's just a mishigas, but maybe that could also theoretically be included in de machzara, which could then also mean outside of money completely. It could mean in terms of covered and things that don't even cost anything. And maybe that, Sammy, maybe that was the point you were focusing on when we talked about Hillel, that it's not even about money at all specifically. I guess that's what you're saying. I totally appreciate that's what you're saying before. You're saying that really this is not about money at all, that the other case is that if he didn't want to do it himself, he would pay somebody, but it didn't have to be a money concept in any sense. Okay, so that could be that point also. And then the next passage we saw, the Gemara, about the town going to a great extent to provide somebody with basar, the unfortunate diss on basar as opposed to a chicken. And the discussion with the finish of that Gemara is that Gemara saying that there are certain things which, even if they're not public, have this great standard associated with them, so we have to see what exactly is the significance of that. We saw the Gemara repeatedly uses the word ben tovim, which some of the Rishonim pick up on as indicating that not everybody is entitled to such treatment. You have to have a history with it in order for this to be a part of Dei Mahzoro. And then this very significant, possibly Gemara by Rav Nechemia, which has a number of possible lessons. The fact that he did not give this person what he asked for, is it because he couldn't afford it? Is it because he thought he wasn't actually deserving of the Dei Machzoro standard in this case? Is it because maybe there's a possibility of Dei Machzoro, but also there's a desired level to move away from that, and maybe that's what he was getting at? Or is it that it's limited by what he himself does, and maybe that's somehow inherent in the Stucker principle also? All of these possible Kiddushim from this Gemara, ultimately we're going to have to see how that comes out. So our next step is to then look at the rest of the Gemara. The Gemara will give some cases where there's clearly not expected to give the person what he wants, and the Rishonim are going to struggle with, so what's the difference between the extreme Dei Machzoro cases we've seen and the cases where apparently there is no Dei Machzoro requirement? What are the principles? So God willing, we will see how that plays out. Okay, so we'll daven mincha. Ashrei Shabbos Shalom.